Good morning, everyone. We are happy to be here again and be able to just speak with you guys. It's been probably since August that I last spoke, but just happy to be able to speak here and get our children dedicated, and just a great the way that their births worked out and everything was awesome. Sometimes people, because they were 5 days apart, and sometimes people ask, did you plan that? A resounding no. We're close, but we're not that close. We didn't want to discuss all those details. So yeah, it just happened. It was just something that God orchestrated for this time back, but we're super happy about it. It reminds us of me, you remember how John the Baptist and Jesus were born close to the same time? So Micaiah being Jesus, of course, but it was kind of similar to that thing. Please turn with me to Mark. Actually, let's go with John chapter 12. All right, John chapter 12. Before we start, so Rachel and I, for those of you who don't know us, Rachel and I are missionaries. Rachel, my wife, we are missionaries in Madagascar, and we're going there. We're returning this Tuesday, as Mark was saying, and we're going there for about for as long as the Lord leads, but we're thinking about a year and a half or so. We'd like to be going for kind of like 2 years, then returning. So that's what we feel God's put on our heart. We kind of have some new big developments with all of that. Over the course of the last year, we were able to start a Canadian charity, which just got approval and status a few weeks ago. So like in late November. So I think there's a thing picture you can put up. That's our charity. It's going to be called Abba's Home, and really a lot of the focus is as our Heavenly Father, Abba, just providing a home for children who are in need. And so we're just looking forward to what God's going to do with that, and we're very, very excited. So yeah, we also have prayer cards that we will put in the back. Actually, I might not make it to the back. Would one of the ushers mind coming and just taking these? They'll look like this. You're an usher and a worship leader. That's amazing. That's amazing. So they'll be in the back somewhere if you'd like to pick one up. And whenever you see them, put them on your fridge or something, and just remember to pray for us. That would be really appreciated. We thank you so much as a church family for your support financially and in prayer. It means the world to us. And we're very, very happy. All right, John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Now, I want you to just flip over to Mark 14. We're just going to read a similar account of the same story. verse 3. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? What she has done is a beautiful thing to me. The poor you always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you, God, that you would just open up every heart, every mind, that we would be able to hear what you're sharing with us, and that you'd be glorified here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So imagine you're sitting at dinner, and you're with Jesus. This is awesome. You don't know that he's about to be crucified in a few days, but he knows that, and you're sitting at the table with him, and this woman comes up to him, and she starts doing this act, pouring out a very, very expensive, a year's wages. I've never had a year's wages in my hand, but this woman had a year's wages in her hand, and she starts to pour it on him. Till she broke it, she poured this thing on a very expensive perfume. Everyone in the room is thinking, "What are you doing? Why is there this waste of this very expensive stuff? This could have been sold, it could have been given to the poor, this, that, and the other." And Jesus rebukes them, telling them, "No, it was intended that you would do this to prepare me for my burial." Now, I want this morning, if we can visualize that this perfume, this alabaster jar, I wanted you to imagine it representing our lives. Your life, my life. And here's the reality about being a Christian. Sometimes when you want to actually be seriously sold out to the Lord and give him everything, it's going to look like a waste to the everyone around you sometimes, except for the other people who understand. Because you're taking something, your life, your precious, precious life. You only get one life, is what we say. Your precious, precious life, you're taking that one life and choosing to waste it all on Jesus. But that's what each and every one of us is called to do. We're called to take this one life that we get and waste it on him. But so often it's easy for us to see everything but that, and be so focused and so concentrated on things that the world has to provide us, on sins that Satan has to give us, all these things, and instead of being at Jesus' feet, instead of pouring our lives, our whole entire lives to Jesus, we give it up to this, that, and the other. Are we ready to waste? And when I use that term, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean in a, I don't know the right word, but you guys understand what I'm doing here. Yes, yeah, yeah. What I'm trying to say, I'm not saying it like sacrilegiously, like waste your life on Jesus. I'm saying in this, like, it's giving your whole life, and to everyone else it's going to seem like a waste. So if I say that term, that's what I mean. Are we willing to waste our whole life on Jesus? How worthy is Jesus of our lives? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. And people tell you when you become a father, you get a better grasp of what it's like for your heavenly father, even though we couldn't fully get it. But it's been amazing just watching her grow and just having so much love for one human being. And her mother, Rachel, is doing amazing. They're both doing great. She's sleeping now at night more. She's crying less, and Micaiah's doing well too. So it's just It's just been awesome. But I was thinking of Micaiah, and I'm thinking, I just want to protect her with all of my heart. And I know God, like, he just, I want to protect her with everything. When I see something, the other day, I'm not a big outdoors person, I'm really not, but the other day, my sister-in-law, she took us out and to skating. It was just, it started freezing rain, and there was these little, it was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable, and I'm 27 years old. So we were putting Micaiah out there, and I felt like, I just wanted to hold her, protect her, hug her. And I'm telling you, when she is older, she is allowed, like, she's not dating. She's allowed, like, a maximum of 3 male friends, and that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She's just my little girl. So I've been so happy to get a picture of what the Heavenly Father feels for us. All right. Where were we? Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. This is the worth of the kingdom of God. This is the worth of the relationship that we have with him. That someone, it's like finding something of such great value that he sold everything that he had, everything that he possessed. He sold everything so that he could have this one thing. And this morning, I'm not even specifically talking about money necessarily. I'm talking about your whole lives. Yes, that will be partially money. But are we willing to give up everything for this great, great treasure that we found? Because I find often it's so easy to give up some of our lives, to give God most of our lives and feel good about the fact that we're giving him most of our lives. But at what point do we realize that he's worthy of our whole lives, from the moment that we know him to the moment our very last breath, that he's worthy of that? And to me, it's something I'm growing in and learning more and more each year, each month. I'm growing in this, and it's a privilege that we all get to grow in this, an understanding of God. I have to give you everything. There's no option. In the Gospels, it never says, come to me and give me most of your life. He never says anything like that. He never says anything wishy-washy like that. Jesus was actually very direct with people, and if you read how he talked in the Gospels to people, it was actually, you would be stunned if you heard Jesus speak. Some of us, I would think would be very stunned, because he talked very direct to people, and he told people it's all or nothing. But it's simple nowadays to water down the Gospel, and I'm not sure when it started, I'm not sure how, but we water it down to just something that we can give him most of, but we get to reserve a little bit. But we can attend church on Sundays, so that means the rest of the week you can live like whatever. And I'm just not sure where that mentality came about. I wanted to do something with, will you guys be able to see me if I'm, yeah, okay, just one second. I remember once I was doing Zach and Winnie's wedding, and I personally believe I did it for a joke, but people thought I actually forgot their wedding vows in my room. So this reminded me of it, because I had to go back in here, tail between my legs, and I've never done this before, so I hope it goes well. Is this a new carpet? This thing? I hear you're not allowed to go. Are we allowed to go in the baptismal tank? No, it's okay. I won't burden you with that question right now. No, we'll try it out. So I want this to represent what this woman had. So she had, it was about a half liter, so this is probably it's probably around there. And so this woman had a half liter, it was an alabaster jar, so it wouldn't have looked like this at all, it wouldn't have been blue, but this is what we have and the food coloring we have. And so she would have taken something probably around just a bit smaller than this, and so she would have been bringing this to Jesus' feet. And remember, we're saying that this represents your whole life. Your whole life. So you get one of these. Every one of you, you get one of these. And God gives us the freedom to do what we want with this. But we get an option. And this woman, she had an option with what she wanted to do with her jar. And it says that she broke it and put it at his feet. So this woman, she comes to Jesus. She's in front of all these people. All these people are seeing her. And she's essentially pouring all of this out on him. And we get that opportunity in our lives to pour out our lives to Jesus. To pour out everything to Jesus. But can I tell you what we sometimes do? Some of us, and I've been guilty of some at some point of this, we will take our lives and we'll go like this and we'll give Jesus 15% or 10%, whatever it may be. And we think that because we gave Jesus our 15%, because we gave Jesus our 10%, that now that's it. That we've arrived because we gave Jesus 15%. And whatever that might mean to you, there's been times in my life where coming to church was the thing to do because that's what you did on Sunday morning. And it was not because I was fully giving my life to Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, etc. It's because that's what you do on Sunday. And I know that's so easy to fall into as a trap, to just become a Sunday Christian. I know it's so easy as a Christian to put on a good face for people, to be a good Christian to people, and then at home, even if it's not in front of people, live in a way that is very not honoring to God. And we think it's okay. And the way our culture, our society, even in our Christian culture, there's a lot of acceptance for, and I'm not saying there's going to be things you struggle with, but what I'm talking about is not even caring to want to change them. Your heart's not even in a place where you're just satisfied doing this sin for 20 years. You're just satisfied not giving this area of your life for 15 years, whatever. That's what I'm talking about. So we think it's okay, and I'm telling you, it's not okay to keep this for yourself. It's not okay to keep this for yourself. We're called, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, whoever loses his life for my sake, he's going to find it. So we're faced with a decision. Do I keep my life and enjoy my 80 years here? Or do I lose my life for Jesus? And it might seem so ridiculous to everyone in the world around me, everyone who knows me. It doesn't matter to who. People might say, I can't believe he's chosen to do that with his life. I can't believe he does that. I can't believe he's a follower of Jesus. I can't believe that's who he is. It could look so ridiculous to other people around you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, Paul is talking about how the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. The thing that we hold so dearly to us, it is foolishness to many people in the world. It doesn't make sense, it doesn't add up, and they just don't understand. And so people are going to think you're awfully weird sometimes for making that choice. Some people might kind of understand, but to give your whole life to him and not hold on to this, it's going to look kind of weird. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. This is Paul. He's about to be sent out to go to Jerusalem. Verse 22. He's being sent out He actually knows by revelation of the Holy Spirit that there's going to be some bad things happening to him. And he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However," listen to Paul's value for this. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I consider my life worth nothing to me," Paul said. So for Paul to come before Jesus and pour out everything isn't a big deal, because guess what this is worth to Paul? It's worth nothing. But to us, we place a value on our lives, and we want to reserve our life for ourselves. We want to hold certain things for ourselves. We feel like certain sins, we just need to do them, and we just want to hold on to that, and we don't want to surrender things to God. But for Paul, this is no issue. He says, "My life's worth nothing to me." Picture worth nothing. Have you pictured it? It's worth nothing. Picture that, guys. It's something that's worth nothing to you. So Paul's coming, and he says again in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he talks about whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness or the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So when Paul comes to do this, he's able to do this, because twice we read about him saying, "It's worth nothing to me." It's worth nothing to me. So how much is this worth to us, guys? How much is our 80 years worth to us? Is Jesus worth wasting your whole entire life? Is Jesus worth looking like a fool for? Is Jesus worth looking like all these things? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll show you just before Paul ends his life. This is how Paul, his mindset is thinking. So twice he's already said, "My life, I consider it worth nothing. This is nothing to me. It's absolutely nothing." And then he's talking to Timothy, and at the time, he knows he's about to die very soon. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I, Paul, am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul was so focused. I honestly do not want to get to a point in my life where my life's almost over and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to get to a point in my life where I look back and think, "Why did I hold on to my life when all this time I could have given it to Jesus?" It's not even ours to hold on to. He gives us life. He gives us life, and the only difference, and there comes a moment when we realize, wow, he gave me life. He not only gave me physical life, but his son went on a cross, died, so I could have spiritual life. So I didn't give myself physical life, I didn't give myself spiritual life. He gave me both of those, and they're his. Our lives belong to him. They're not ours. I think that's the deception. Our lives, we think they're ours. They're not our lives. They're lives given to us by him. So when we start to think that they're our lives and we can hold on to them and we can do things that he doesn't want, we're so deceived and we're missing the point. It's not my life. So if he asks me to go somewhere that might be hard to go, it's not my life. It's not my life, and I'm actually so grateful to be able to do it because he gave me life. Why wouldn't I want to pour my life back out to him? And with all of my heart, God, say, "God, I am looking forward to that day when I see you face to face, I honestly cry a lot when I think about this, but when I see him face to face and he just says, well done, oh man, when he says that to me, if you're beside me when he says, I will lose it when he says that to me. But I believe with all my heart he's going to. And guys, this is everything. I love you too. This is everything. And so for Paul knows that, and Paul is saying, I have finished the good race, I've fought the good fight, and I'm ready to see my Lord. And I know Paul knows that his Lord is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not about living our lives for us. So this lady, she comes in, does this for Jesus. And Jesus says that wherever the gospel is preached, your story will be told as well. And at the time, people didn't really have an idea like the Bible was going to be the Bible. But sure enough, we have the Bible, and here is this good news. Let me tell you what, we're probably, everyone's in some kind of category. Some of you have never even thought about giving your life to Jesus, maybe. What does that mean? And I kind of mentioned that right a few seconds ago, but I want to say this again. There's a God who loved you so much, saw your value, your worth, and potential, and he wanted a relationship with you, starting as soon as possible. Sometimes we're in Christianity for heaven one day. Oh man, Christianity starts the moment you give your life to Jesus. Yes, heaven's going to be amazing, but wow, Jesus, now. Jesus is Lord, now. Jesus speaks to us, now. Jesus communicates to us, now. Jesus pours out his love on us, now. 2016, 2017, whatever day. It's not going to start when you get to heaven, and yay for heaven, but yay now, Jesus. And he gives you newness of life. He gives you a new life, and it's your privilege with that life to pour it at his feet and say, Jesus, this life is not mine. It's yours. And I'm telling you, if you're in that situation, Jesus is the most amazing thing you could ever experience. The most amazing thing you could ever experience. Some of us might be in that other category I mentioned, where it's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'll give my 10%, I'll give my 15% of my time, of my this, of my that. But at the end of the day, God is really just one of those things. You have work, you have this, and God is just one of those things. But he's everything. And everything falls under him. And I'm encouraging you, if you're in one of those places where Jesus is kind of like a 10% thing to you, or a 20, 30, whatever percent. Oh man, Jesus says in Revelation 3, I wish you were hot or cold, but not lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And I'm not even sure I understand the full extent of exactly everything he's saying there, but he's serious. Let's not be lukewarm, guys. Let's not be one foot in, one foot out. And then there's a lot of us who might be at a place where we're like, we've given like almost everything. We're doing so good. We're doing really well, and that's awesome. That really is awesome. I'm not being sarcastic. But nowhere ever in the Bible do we get the option of just giving God even 80, even 90%, even 95%. There's actually nowhere in the Bible we're given a license to just be kind of 95% in. Look at me. Is there a sin in your life? Is there something in your life that is holding you back from growing in God? And you know about it, and you have not been willing to let it go because you love your life. I'm telling you, today can be that day you let go of that thing. Is there maybe even career decisions that you're not even motivated by the right things? You're not thinking Jesus. You might just be thinking just the world. Are there things in the world that we're not willing to give up to him? I'm encouraging you today, let today be the day that you let go of that. The worship team can come up. I'm telling you, this woman looked ridiculous to everyone in the room around her. She looked like a fool. Why? Because she chose to waste what she had on Jesus. Guys, we get one life. I do not, at the end of my life, want to think. I do not want to think that I held back anything from him. Because he gave everything for me. I'm serious, for everyone in here, please, so important. Everything, guys. To be found at his feet, laying down our lives and saying, Jesus, nothing. Not my job, not any sin, not any person will hold me back from you. I give you everything. Everything that I have, God. My whole life poured out at your feet, because my life is not my own. And I actually, God, I actually resound with Paul, and I want to say that I consider my life worth nothing to me. So this, what I'm pouring out in front of you, might seem like a lot, but it's worth nothing to me because of what you did for me. And I pray that would be every one of our cries. God, my life, it's worth nothing to me. I want you, Jesus. God, I pray for every person here that this would be our cry, God. To give you everything, God. Our whole lives, God, because they're not ours. We're just giving back to you what you gave to us. Pouring them at your feet, Father God. Jesus' name. You could stand for worship.
Where mercy reigns,